So thank you all that showed up today. So it's the Model Watershed Board of Directors meeting, November 26, 2019, 5 p.m., 505. Elgin Community Center in Elgin, Oregon. So, we do not have a quorum. However, we will continue on. So we can't approve anything because we don't have a quorum. So what we're going to do for the record is we're going to go ahead and go through our agenda, and then we're going to have the discussion over the projects that are presented, the five we have. And then that discussion will be recorded, and we'll get that recording out on the website. And then the other board members will have a chance to hear that, and then they can add to the discussion over email with Jesse and staff or whomever is presenting the project. So, and then at a time certain, in a short period of time after this meeting, we will see if we can round up a conference call and have everybody on board so that we can actually vote. And we can dispense with the minutes and those things until we are at our next meeting, and we'll just discuss the projects on the conference call.
Done.
We have someone?
I think.
Two more.
Two more. Hold that thought. How many do we need for a quorum?
Six.
Well, we're up to five.
Who's coming in?
I have a good excuse.
I don't. No, I'm just a
I hit a deer on the way.
Oh,
oh
no.
On the hill. Yeah. Haven't checked my dent yet, but.
You were driving the farm truck, and nobody noticed.
No, I was. Yeah, the farm truck, you wouldn't notice, right?
Yeah. Okay, so where we are, we don't have a quorum yet. We need one more to get there. So what we've been discussing is going ahead, dispensing with approving of the minutes and the agenda, but going ahead and discussing the project proposals. And we'll record that, and then they'll put it up on the website. And then the other members can, we will email them and let them know that it's there, and we'd like them to listen to that at their first opportunity. And then we will have a phone call in the future at a time certain to have the full discussion and vote on the project so that we can move them forward in the time frame we need to get it done. Okay. Is that acceptable with everyone? I'm pulling out order. All right. Let's dive into these things then, shall we?
Are we skipping over calendar and announcements too and going straight to projects?
Yep.
Okay.
Let's do that.
Okay, so this, I'll just go in the order that they're on your agenda there, starting with the Indian Creek project. Put together just a few slides to walk through the usual information that we cover. Just thought it might be a little more interesting to see some pictures rather than just listen to me talk. So this fall, I'm gonna steal this. Let's see my notes, okay. This fall, we got five proposals in, Model Watershed did. Three of which were implementation funding requests, two were technical assistance or design requests. So this is in your packet because I know you probably can't read it up there, but it's just kind of the project budget for fiscal year 2020. And it's got the requests from the five proposals in there. And we looked at this at our annual planning meeting, but we essentially have about $3.2 million in project budget and a total request from these five proposals of $562,674, which you'll see there at the bottom right. And we can come back to this if folks have questions. You might know either on your sheet or on the screen the rating and ranking of the project proposals. And I'll go over that a little bit when we talk about each one, but they are in order there, the highest ranking on top, 1 through 5. So starting with the Indian Creek connectivity project, this is a design request or technical assistance request from Trout Unlimited. And this is just a tax lot map zoomed in on a section of Indian Creek there. All four of these structures that they're looking at removing are on Hancock timber land, and so that's kind of that lighter shaded tax lot there. We'll look at each one of these briefly, but the most downstream, furthest to your left, is an old, we think it's an old bridge and log crib, maybe an old splash dam site, not quite sure. And then up from there is an old hydroelectric dam that was installed but never used. Not far upstream from there is an old culvert that has been, the road's been washed out and the culvert's just sitting in the channel unused. And then the furthest upstream, furthest to your right, is the intake headgate for the hydroelectric dam. So there's kind of pictures of each site, starting in the upper left. That is the old maybe bridge foundation, kind of a log crib. There's also some structures extending up on either side of the stream there that kind of look like an old splash dam site. So not sure what all the history is there, but Hancock does not use it, and Trout Unlimited has worked with them on agreement, and they are good with just removing that structure. The next structure upstream is the top right there. That's the small dam that was put in. We're calling it a hydroelectric dam. You can see the pump house in the background of that picture, but the dam itself doesn't feed water to the pump house. It's from an intake about a mile upstream. And so we're not sure what the function of that dam was. You can see the intake for the actual hydroelectric dam down below that picture. And like I said, that's about a mile upstream from this, the dam and the pump house there. So, but again, Hancock took a look at the facility and basically they have no interest in using it for a hydroelectric dam and have said that it can be removed. And then the bottom left picture is that abandoned culvert that's still in stream there on Indian Creek. You can see the clogged up with wood and the stream's kind of going through it and around it. During high flows, the bulk of the flow goes around it. And the road is not used, it's decommissioned, so we can just pull that culvert out. So that would be the plan on this project, is just to remove all four of those structures. Including the intake. The intake, we wouldn't remove the whole mile of pipe, probably just the first little bit and cap it. But there's the budget that is included in the proposal, broken down by a couple line items there. The bulk of that being the cost to hire an engineer to do designs. The Trout Unlimited just said construction-ready designs. They're not sure what stage they need to get to. They know they need to get far enough along, probably an 80% to get through permitting, but because it's just removals and not replacements, probably don't need to take the designs to a final 100% design. Pretty simple project.
Is there any rehab work to be done once the structures are pulled?
That's a good question. So that was kind of part of the discussion that the implementation team talked about, is having the engineer take a quick look at the sediment transport through there and kind of the sediment load we might expect from pulling out those smaller concrete, channel spanning concrete structures, and looking at adding a few wood structures downstream from those to kind of catch some of that sediment. Beyond that, I don't think that the one dam, the upper left, has kind of a rock barb that extends up onto the floodplain, and probably pull that rock out of there if we can. But other than that, not a lot.
Did you guys see anything? IT review though to indicate there's a create more fish passage problems by just pulling stuff and then let it go.
No, I don't think there's a lot of sediment stored there. I mean, those are high gradient stream.
Great.
I think they're pretty simple.
Simple's good.
Simple is good. Yeah, Indian Creek is a tier three. It's not our highest priority area for restoration work, but the implementation team has talked about wanting to remove barriers wherever they exist, especially within historic Chinook domain. And so although it's tier three, we feel like this is a pretty straightforward project that needs to happen, just get these barriers out. None of them are complete barriers. Steelhead in high flows, adult steelhead get over them. But certainly during low flows, those would be barriers to juvenile fish. So. So in the overall rating and ranking, this rated out as a high priority. It ranked number three out of the five proposals. The request, you'll notice on here, is quite a bit more than what you saw in your proposal. And that's mostly because you got a draft proposal. Our timeline got a little messed up this fall. We had to get proposals to the board for review, so it's a draft proposal rather than a final proposal. But some of the IT feedback to Trout Unlimited was that initially I think they requested $23,000, and some of the IT members encouraged Trout Unlimited to go out and get some actual bids on this one, and of course they came back quite a bit higher than what he was expecting. So a little more survey work to do, and then just some, you know, if we're going to add some wood structures, there's going to be a little more design work too, rather than just pulling these structures.
So that number is what's shown in our budget.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Get in there? Oh, good. Okay. I thought I had sent you guys a previous draft version with the 23,000 amount.
Just had a question on the budget. I don't really understand what they're doing with the indirect. The indirect exceeds the staffing, and did you guys talk about that at all? It appears that, I don't know if they applied a percentage to the total 68 or what.
Yeah, it is, and they're federally negotiated indirect cost rates at the end of that proposal, I think. I think it's 15%.
Yeah, 14%.
Right. Jim, does the Conservation District apply indirect to pass-through costs?
Yeah, these aren't, so legally these aren't pass-through costs because they're contracting it. So it does apply. If it's a federally negotiated rate, it applies to all of that.
Whether they're using the money themselves or subcontracting them.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
If they were taking that money and paying the tribes to do the contracting, that's a pass-through.
Right.
But if they're contracting it themselves, that's considered part of your indirect rate. But I think what he did, I don't know if he's done it on this one, but he got some of his administration to cut the indirect in half in the past, on the past projects, on Elmer Dam, I think. They agreed to cut that half. And then they, you know, apply the other part as maybe a match value or something like that.
Anything else?
IT recommended funding this one as is. Kind of with the recommendation that they look at the sediment. I'm with Tim, I don't think it's a big concern, but.
That's back there in the comment piece that.
Yeah.
Now the woody debris, it said in one of the comments that it needs some woody debris downstream, and that was to catch any sediment that might come from removing these?
Yeah, that was the thought. Is it a good opportunity to catch some of that gravel nearby rather than letting it go further downstream?
But not a big bunch.
No. No, I kind of like to look at that top left picture. And you can see where the calm water is above that structure. Mm-hmm. Kind of gives you an idea, like Tim mentioned, the gradient of that stream. I mean, that's really all the farther you've got a sediment backed up there. You're going to move more than what's just right there, but I don't think it's a big concern.
So we'd ask the five of us, do we want to, for the record, make a recommendation that we would approve and then ask the remaining members? Or do we want to just not do that at all until we get to the phone call?
I would recommend we just wait till the phone call.
Okay.
Agreed.
All right.
Okay.
All right, we'll move on to the second one.
The next one is Lower Fly Creek Restoration Project, and this is an implementation funding request from the U.S. Forest Service, La Grande Ranger District. For those not familiar, Fly Creek, it's a tributary to the Upper Grand Ronde River near the Forest Service boundary upstream of the town of Starkey. Kind of a long history on Fly Creek, as with a lot of the streams around here, I guess. There was splash damming that took place on Fly Creek, and the implementation team visited the old splash dam site. And oftentimes what you see is just a really simplified channel after splash dam logging has taken place, and that describes Fly Creek well. Pretty simplified, not a lot of structure in place. In the early 90s when they put the sill logs in, Forest Service did initially. Not real effective. That was kind of the common approach at the time. Tends to over-widen the stream. In 2009, the Forest Service went back in through funding from the Model Watershed and added more wood structures, pretty extensive planting, recontoured the stream bottom road there along Fly Creek. And you know, when the implementation team went and toured Fly Creek in August, Joe Platts with Forest Service was a little frustrated because a lot of his structures, he felt like, well, they got washed out or they got lifted and kind of set up on the floodplain with this last high flow. And so he felt like he lost a lot of that project that was implemented in 2009. I'd say the encouraging thing from that project was that a lot of those structures were, there was significant gravel that had graded upstream of those wood structures. And that's really what our objective would be in Fly Creek, is we'd want to try to grade that channel back up, because it's been incised after it was simplified. It's down cut. So get those structures in place and keep that grading taking place. There is about 3/4 mile that goes onto private property that the Forest Service has an agreement in place with that landowner, and so they'll add wood along that section too. About 3.5 miles of stream in total on Fly Creek, starting near the mouth of Fly Creek and working upstream. If funded, the plan would be to construct this lower 3.5 miles in next year in 2020, with plans for additional phases in the future, doing the middle section in 2021 and then the upper section in 2022 for a total of about 7 stream miles in all 3 phases. Fly Creek is actually UGR 16. That's a typo there, but it is what we're calling a Tier 1 node. Fly Creek Watershed is a Tier 3, but through some of the input from ODFW Fish Research a few years ago, we designated the lower 7 miles or so of Fly Creek as a Tier 1 node, recognizing the importance as an extension of the Grand Ronde River there. It comes into kind of the spawning area within the Grand Ronde, and they find a lot of juvenile Chinook rearing in the lower portions of Fly Creek. So this is within a Tier 1 node for the Atlas ranking. Objectives, pretty similar to a lot of what we see from the Forest Service: engage floodplain, complexity. There's some side channels that can be activated if we can get that channel graded and the water backed up enough. And so, you know, along the lines of objectives, the approach in Fly Creek will be a little bit different than some of the other streams that the Forest Service has been working in, just from a stability standpoint. You'll notice in the actions here that the plan is to dig in 2 to 3 key pieces and to pin and to use some boulder ballast, which is a lot more than we would typically do on these wood structures on Forest Service land. And the thought is there is that we want these structures to be more stable and stick around long enough to get this channel graded. Some of the IT recommendations that the Forest Service agreed with and thought would be a good idea would be to build a few of those a little less stable, let them move around, shift, adjust a little bit. And then the plan is to add a lot of just loose wood also. So we have about 80 of these full channel spanning structures that will be fairly stable, and then a lot of loose placed wood, a couple hundred pieces placed this year, and then if the next phase is funded, they'll place an additional 500 trees via helicopter in the future through this section too. So you can see the conditions there in that reach of Fly Creek. That's pretty typical of the lower section and the middle section of Fly Creek. Pretty simplified, pretty bony. That's the budget breakdown for Fly Creek. Picture is not a Fly Creek. It's just an example of the log loader there placing some trees. As I mentioned, it's tier one. This project ranks number one out of the five proposals that we got. The team felt this was the highest priority, ranked first. Forest Service is requesting $325,394 of EPA funding. Yeah, the IT recommendation was to fund the project.
So where do they find the rest of the money?
The cost share to get you to the total project cost is mostly in the trees that the Forest Service provides on these projects. Okay. It's a pretty substantial chunk of the cost share. They do have a little bit of staff time permitting cost share.
I would point out that it's just the permitting staff time they're using as match exceeds the amount of days that the biological technician will have implementing this project. Mm-hmm. Does that seem off at all?
Not in today's age.
It seems wrong, but it's probably accurate.
It's probably multiple staff too. You're looking at probably, you know, if that was only 20 hours for three people, you know, rather than 60 hours for one.
Yeah.
They're probably getting close to exceeding the tech time with their archaeologist out there.
Yeah.
And where are the trees showing for the match, Jesse, you said?
Where are they showing in the budget, or where are they coming from?
No, in the budget. The match value of the trees themselves.
It should be...
Oh, in-kind match, I see.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
$142,500. Yeah. Just placing it, looks like a value of $150 per tree on there. They're grabbing the trees from the just adjacent hill slopes, and there's a closed road that they're going to use for the access road off of Fly Ridge down in there, and they'll grab some of the trees off of that road also alongside that road. There's a little less wood in this project and slash than the Forest Service has been putting in, and that's just because that's what's available, which is why Joe would like to come back in 2021 and kind of tag on to some existing helicopter work that's going to be taking place to add some more trees.
Well, I like the approach and, you know, with the structures and where it's being applied, so for what that's worth.
Yeah, you know, I don't think anyone is a huge fan of pinning, but after walking the site and, you know, Joe kind of talking about the flashiness of the system and the flows, I think it's appropriate to try to build these a little more stable than most. It's gonna take a few more years to get this thing built up, a graded, connected with the floodplain.
Anything further?
Okay. Lower Limber Gym Restoration Project. This is another implementation funding request from the LaGrande Ranger District. Limber Gym Creek is a tributary to the Upper Grand Ronde River. For those of you that are familiar with Bay Meadows, it flows into the Grand Ronde River at the upstream end of Bay Meadows. So one of the things that you'll notice is that this project, although it's being implemented by the Forest Service, is actually all on private land. The Schillers own the ranch there at Bay Meadows, and come a long history there with the Schillers, but I don't think I'm overstating things to say that Bay Meadows is probably the highest priority area for restoration in the entire basin. But unfortunately, we have not found a way to work with the Schillers in the past, find something that would work for them or that they were interested in. And so Eric Johnson, the range con with the Forest Service here, has a long-standing relationship with Marilyn Schiller. The Schillers have a public grazing permit, and so Eric works with them regularly and has built that relationship and has worked with them to kind of come up with a smaller project to kind of test things out with them and see what they think. And so this is only just over a half mile of stream. It connects all the previous restoration work on Limber Gym that was done upstream 2 years ago. And so this would connect with another 2.5 miles of restoration work upstream. In working with these landowners, it's recognized that they will still actively graze the project site. There's no action to fence or eliminate or exclude grazing from the site. And so we'll be adding wood to the stream, understanding that it will continue to be grazed and managed like it has been. That picture there is, it's kind of sad actually. That's a little remnant beaver dam that was attempted on Limber Gym Creek. And you can just kind of see what the current conditions are there. I mean, there's not a riparian zone to speak on Limber Gym. It does flow through a meadow. Pretty impacted stream though. And so the plan, if funded, would be to implement this in 2020. It's in Reach 18, which is a tier 2. Similar objectives to what we've seen in the past, although I would just say that the engage the floodplain objective, I think, has really been compromised in trying to work with this landowner. Initially, the plan was to install 24 channel spanning structures and 6 habitat structures. But over the summertime, the landowner had a change of heart and saw some other restoration work and just said, I don't want that much wood. I don't want that intense of a treatment. And so the Forest Service kind of came to a compromise, and they're going to be able to install 6 of these channel spanning structures, and the other 24 structures will be a habitat structure. And so I would say that the floodplain inundation objective it's still an objective. How much we're actually going to get out of this project will be pretty limited. The IT implementation team discussion, we kind of talked about this. At what point are we giving up enough biological benefit that this doesn't become worthwhile? But everyone felt pretty strongly about trying to establish a relationship with this landowner. If we can do something that's good for the habitat and the landowner agrees with it, it's kind of this first step with the landowner. And so building that landowner relationship really became the number one priority with this project.
So what's a habitat structure look like?
Yeah, I should have had plans up there. Essentially, it's going to be built off of one bank, and it will extend probably 2/3 to 3/4 of the way across the stream, several crossing with wood members, but it won't span the whole channel. It won't touch the other bank.
Okay. So
cover logs and triangles.
And those will have to be pinned in so they don't?
No, this will be all loose placed. Mm-hmm. They won't be dug in or pinned. it'll be loose place. Limber Jim's a fairly small stream. You know, in all reality, and this is kind of some of the feedback from the implementation team, you could use a lot smaller wood on this project than what's planned.
We have some bigger stuff upstream where the other projects took place.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not much likelihood that this would wash out and move away and...
No. No. Not with the size of trees. And the size of tree really comes down to it's what's there. You know, he's using the lodgepole off the hillside out of these thickets.
Yeah. Good use.
A thousand of the trees will come from the private property. The rest of them will come from a closed road on Forest Service property. So you'll see in the budget that there is a $10,000 line item there for tree purchase.
So he's got plantings, tree plantings, I think, and seed.
Yeah.
I can't remember, did he say anything about protecting any of the plantings or anything?
No, and that came up in the discussion, and my understanding is that those plantings are going in the tree harvest areas. And they're required through their NEPA when they remove the trees to replant the areas where they're removing the trees. So these aren't plantings along the stream.
Oh, okay.
And the Forest Service should be covering that line item. I believe that's part of their match.
So is the hope that this little stream spreads out some?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of old scrolls and side channels, and so we're only getting six of these channel spanners, but they are going to be placed strategically to try to get the water out into those old scrolls and side channels. And I thought that was a really good point brought up by ODFW during the meetings, was making sure that the landowner is clear on what the objectives of this project are. So the last thing we want to do is build a project that's going to harm the relationship with that landowner. We want to make sure they're clear, and we're relying on the Forest Service on this one. They're the ones that have the relationship built with Maryland, and they're comfortable with it. The ranger's comfortable with it. That they've had the right discussions. So she has seen the upstream project that was built. Seems good with it.
Anything else? No? All right.
Okay, the last implementation funding request from the Forest Service is a Headwater Small Stream project in Chicken Creek. The board reviewed a similar proposal last year for Headwater Small Stream work in Limber Jim watershed. So this is a similar approach, just in a different watershed. They're proposing to work on about 4 miles within the Chicken Creek watershed on Chicken Creek, West Chicken Creek, and then a tributary to West Chicken Creek. This work would tie into previous restoration work that was completed last year and funded through the Model Watershed Program on Chicken Creek. So this will just be extending upstream from that work. See some of the other existing condition that is within a riparian pasture, but that's as part of the agreement with the Chicken Creek work, that's going to be rested for 4 more years. Similar approach to what we've reviewed in the past. These are small. Some of them are perennial. Chicken Creek's perennial. Some of them are intermittent. But they're small streams, limited fish use. The idea here really is to do more with the hydrology. We want to slow the water down coming out of these headwater small streams, store it on the floodplain where possible, and so really targeting the kind of the meadow areas with some available floodplain. All the trees are coming again from the site itself. They'll pull them, I think it says within 200 feet. and place them right there in the stream.
200 feet on the other side.
Yeah, so a lot of these meadows, what would have typically been a wet meadow in the headwaters, have conifer encroachment. A lot of people are growing right up to the side of the stream. Because the floodplains are so disconnected, it's become suitable for a lodgepole. So the idea is to get those lodgepoles out, get them in the stream, get the stream back up and connected with the floodplain, and hopefully get these wet meadows restored to an actual wet meadow. And there is the budget breakdown for the project. Probably worth noting that I was looking at the salary. That's been a point of debate, I guess, in the past. You know, how much salary the Model Watershed and BPA will pay with the Forest Service, and it's about $38,000 between all three projects that the Forest Service is proposing this year, which is less than half of what we've typically paid in the past for a summer of implementation. A lot of that credit goes to the Headwaters Initiative that was put in place with BPA and the Forest Service, where the Forest Service would start covering more of their own salary.
Remind me, is there a programmatic for Headwaters projects for permitting?
They have, the Forest Service has their ARBO.
So does that like get them around doing any NEPA on these individual projects within the Headwater Initiative then?
Yes.
Okay.
That.
What's an ARBO?
Aquatic Restoration Biological Opinion.
Okay, just test it. Just made that up.
I might have made it up. I don't know. Something like that.
You made up the words to go with it.
I was looking at Tim when I was saying that, and he was not. Letting you know. So this is tier one. It was rated as a medium priority by the team, ranked number 5 out of 5, mostly due to the limited, you know, fish benefit, direct fish benefit. We do think that it's a worthwhile project. The team recommended funding it. The thing we keep coming back to on these small streams projects are, what are our objectives, and how do we measure any sort of a benefit from these? We think that they're going to improve flow timing, potentially have some temperature benefits, but those would be difficult to tease out and actually detect on projects like this without doing a pretty robust monitoring plan, and it's hard to justify that for a $65,000 project. So we're trying to think of ways to keep the monitoring simple but yet effective. And the Forest Service will do level 2 surveys pre and post on these projects. And then the Model Watershed has committed to doing some drone flights on select areas, a couple spots where within the meadows where we can actually see the change in green line expansion and floodplain inundation.
But that's basically what that's about too, is getting that to spread and not have the trees grow right down to the stream bank. Mm-hmm.
I assume there's thermistors below all these projects, measure water temperatures?
Yes, it varies how far downstream.
Okay.
Chicken Creek has a logger.
West Chicken does.
West Chicken does, yeah. Anything else? Okay, last one. This is a design or technical assistance funding request from the Union and Soil Water Conservation District, Captain Creek River Mile 38 restoration design. You see the town of Union there in the image, and the red box to the left, about a mile downstream of the town of Union, is where the project site is located. It's on private property owned by John and Sandy Sheehy. So long history working with these landowners. Existing conditions, you know, the landowners have been active in their riparian planting management. They've fenced the creek off. They've done a lot of planting on their own with limited success. It's been really successful in some areas, I guess, limited in others. The overall habitat conditions are fair to poor. The district noted in the proposal that there's been a pretty drastic decrease in the number of large pools in this reach. There are 27 surveyed in 1935 and 5 when the Bureau of Reclamation did their survey in 2010. And large pools are pools that are greater than a meter deep, so more than 3 feet deep. You know, in the past it was channelized, a lot of the woody debris was removed, and that's identified as the cause for the decrease in the number of pools through this reach, or at least some of the cause. There are some decent pools within this reach. I was trying to think, the overall reach extends upstream and downstream of the Sheehy's property, but I would think that 4 out of 5 of those pools are probably on Sheehy's property. I think you identified 4 in the proposal. So, and those pools are used heavily by overwintering juvenile Chinook. When Scott Favreau did his tracking study through here, located a lot of the fish in these pools through this reach. And we know that overwintering juvenile Chinook prefer the deep, slow pools with low velocities near cover. And so these pools kind of have the deep, slow, but not a lot of cover. And so that would be the overall idea of this project, be to enhance those existing pools with some large wood, provide the cover, maintain the scour in these pools. Last thing we want to do is do something that would negatively affect the pools. So the wood will be placed in a way, designed in a way to continue that scour while reducing bank erosion and providing cover. So the budget breakdown, again, this is a request for design funding. They have a 15% concept that the Bureau of Reclamation designed, and so they would be wanting to hire an engineering firm to take that 15% concept to a final design. That's the bulk of the funding request there. Also within that request is funding for survey, construction oversight, permits, modeling, some district staff time, and their indirect. Bill Gamble had a question. He provided some comments on these projects. He couldn't be here tonight, but he provided some comments for me, and he had a question about the construction oversight and if that's an appropriate thing to put in a design proposal. And I think we've had this discussion in the past, but that ensures that the engineer that designs the project, that same firm, will have someone on site during implementation to oversee the construction, make sure it's built according to the way it was designed. This section of Cabin Creek is a tier 1, high priority. This project was ranked number 2 out of the 5 proposals. And it is an OWEB request, an OWEB FIP request of $58,239. There's $0 being requested of BPA for this project. A little over $17,000 of cost share for a total project cost of $75,773. The implementation team had questions and concerns about the landowner agreement, and the district has confirmed that they have a working agreement in place with the landowner, and that will be expanded once designs are in place prior to construction to make sure that the project is protected for at least 15 years after it's constructed.
So when I was looking at this, I just had a question. So this is through private property. It has to do with the cultural resources. This is a piece of private property, and it's obvious when you look at the stream and stuff, been washed, flooded out. So what exactly is the cultural resource review, or what are they looking for? Or what does that mean exactly? Because I get asked this a bit.
Yeah.
What are they looking for in an obvious stream that's been used and looks, from the looks of it, flooded out and a bank cut really bad and...
Yeah, there's a good chance they're not going to find much in this section, but a cultural resource survey, going to be an archaeologist that's going to walk the entire area of the project that's going to be impacted. You know, so anywhere you're going to stage materials, anywhere equipment's going to be driven, anywhere the ground is disturbed, they'll walk all those areas and look for historic and prehistoric resources. And then they'll, depending on the size of the project, they'll conduct a number of shovel test probes where they dig a 50 by 50 centimeter square, I think it's 50 centimeters deep too, and sift it and look for artifacts or resources. So it could be anything. I mean, we were just joking on a project that just had the cultural resource survey done. They had a picture and they titled unknown wood item, and it was an old outhouse. And they'll identify everything.
The rule is 50 years.
Yeah, I knew what the...
Anything 50 years older
today. You and me are artifacts.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. It just means you're important.
We're protected.
Sweet.
We can be dug up. And, yeah. I get asked that question a lot. You know, what is it? I know they did one up at the Willow Lake and they were excited. They found this piece of pipe that was wood, had wire wrapped around it. And like, stuff's all over the place.
Yeah.
That's what they did. But it was older than 50 years, so.
Yeah.
But often when people ask that, they think they're looking for, I mean, they really assume you're looking for burial sites or something else, and especially in an area that's been sort of degraded over the last 100 years or so.
Yeah.
So what occurs if they find an old outhouse remains?
The historic resources are easier to deal with. Usually it's just a recording them, picture, and then it's, my understanding, it's not a big deal if those
get removed. If there was something here at some time.
Or disturbed, yeah. The prehistoric resources are a bigger deal.
Yeah.
In most cases, you try to avoid those areas. You establish a site boundary, and then usually a buffer around it, and just avoid those areas. You can go through a mitigation process where you can disturb those sites, but it requires mitigation. Okay. Alan is an expert. He's been through some doozies here lately.
He's good, yes. That's a good description.
Yeah, so the recommendation from the implementation team was to fund this one also.
And this is to get to the design on what will be done in the future to eliminate that big bank cut.
Yeah, yeah, there's several points of erosion that is the landowner's main concern. The district has done a pretty good job capitalizing on those and improving habitat too at the same time, at least in the concepts. Mm-hmm.
Jim, anything you
want to add? Actually, the only other important point is that the district's worked with this landowner for a lot of years, you know, trying to get it to this point. And then we ran into a snag with BPA over the last 2 years on it. And that's what we've added it into the Red Mill Reach project. And then we have taken it out of the Red Mill Reach project. So it's definitely a compromise with the landowner, and the landowner said that, you know, they've come to an end point. So if this doesn't, if we don't get this designed on the ground in the next year or so, they're going to walk away from it. So I think that it's a good balance. I think the compromise is worthwhile. It's not everything that was envisioned on that property, but you're also working with, you know, a private landowner that has their own goals and objectives, so.
Yeah, that was part of the justification for why the team ranked at number two, is we just realized we're at a place now where it's either do it or the project's completely off the table. We've explored every option possible out there over the last 10 years with this landowner. Jim said this is kind of the compromise that we've arrived at. So.
Okay. Anything else?
Yeah.
So we'll.
Everybody's quiet.
Everybody's quiet. The coffee's not hot in here. It's so not hot outside. Okay, so we can go on to the update from partners that are here. Well, I'll just look at you, Alan.
I figured you would.
Close by.
I don't have a lot. The main update I have is we're about a week and a half away from completely finishing up construction up on the Grand Ron on the Bird Track Springs project. So I'm very much looking forward to that too. Construction seasons is enough. So we're happy to be out of there and get back to regular stuff.
It's a good time of year to get out of there.
I know. We're only a few weeks late.
Yeah.
Did it turn out? Everything work out okay?
Yeah. Good. Yeah, everything's going pretty well. We've had a few bouts with muddy conditions, and got the bridge out there on the 15th of November, and we're just cleaning up and rehabbing, and fortunately it's froze back up again, so we got a good window to get finished and get moved out. And then the last part of this, we've been waiting, speaking of our cultural resources, we've been, well over a year and a half working on some on-farm developments, working with the private landowner. We relocated a corral, or we're proposing to relocate a corral, and then it's being married with NRCS programs for a well development and piping and troughs. And we're finally getting through that process, so the landowner will be able to start rebuilding the corral this winter. So it'll be a good operation. We got the corral out of the floodplain on an upland bench, so it'll be a much better deal. It's been interesting digging around where that confined feeding operation was. There's a lot of urea and manure in that thing, and so.
So what do you do with it? I mean, are you hauling, what are you doing?
Hauling it away from the river and disposing of it, and yeah.
You see, it froze back up.
Updated Ortho Mosaic photo.
I did. That looks great. Doesn't look like we're going to be able to get a window of it totally completed now with the snow, but we'll get you up there as soon as we get a clear window. Yeah, that looks really good.
It's getting there.
Yeah. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah, no worries. My pleasure.
The district is working with the subcontractor, the engineering firm, to develop alternatives on the Willow Creek dams project. So it's the two lower dams in Willow Creek. Next week we have a meeting to go through an alternative selection for both of those dams, and we'll start moving toward a 30% design on each of those alternatives. And then we worked with Alan and Jake to, I think, get some survey points on Elmer Dam. And so we'll get a elevation base map for that that we can then hand off to an engineering firm that we'll end up subcontracting. That's being ran through Trout Unlimited. Levi has the TA grant for that, but we're working with him on that. Buffalo Flats project, we've, Aaron and I had a whirlwind last week of meeting with all three of the ditch companies and then with the Sportsman's Club, and had some good meetings with them in discussing, explaining the project goals and objectives, and then talking with them about specific issues or operations of those ditches that might have an opportunity in this project to improve or increase efficiency or do some things like that. And then I've been working with Bureau of Reclamation. We're actually hiring a facilitator to work with some public meetings. We're going to schedule a public meeting in late January or early February to kind of kick off. We'll have a conceptual set of drawings by then to bring to the public and explain the project. And then in the meantime, we've been working with ODOT on some road options also. So we've got they're going to give us an estimate on some design costs for doing any kind of a road change that the project might take on. So I think that's the bulk of it. I hired a new, what I call it, watershed conservationist, who's going to have assistant project management duties, and he will start either toward the end of the month or very first of the next year. So
can I interject?
Sure.
Can we announce you as a thief?
Well,
are you going to say anything?
You had your donuts on the table and I had to grab one. So
you got one of your guys?
You did. Yeah. It's a good deal for Derek. He's going to be a good head. Derek Carson. Yeah.
Jim, the City of Union sent a letter to Soil and Water of some concerns of flooding for the City of Union. Did you want to talk about that at all?
The letter they sent like a month ago?
Yeah, on their concerns of, you know, making sure that no new people were put into the flood zone in the city.
Yeah, and I've said that repeatedly, that there won't be. I mean, it's up to the city to make a decision on when we do the hydraulic modeling. So the points in their letter were actually kind of moot, but I mean, those are things that we won't be changing. We'll provide, the project's going to provide some really good added data, added information, and but it can't change the flood-prone elevations through the city unless the city wants to adopt a new map, which would take a letter of map revision process, LOMAR process. So.
I'll invite Winston to give a brief update on fish habitat program stuff, and then I can give a little update on watershed stuff afterwards.
Yeah, so first and foremost, the project manager for the Grand Run and the fish habitat program. We did that as a work rotation through the next year. So Colleen has moved on, as many of you know, so I'll be the point of contact for our program. If you need to get in touch with me, please feel free to do so. And with that being said, I'm excited to be back in this position and working in both counties again. Some of you know that I was temporarily acting as ADV, as we're all doing a bunch of job rotations. So I was off. I've been called it a vacation a little bit, but I'm back to working on the stream channels, working with private land. So
vacation.
Too easy on Bailey.
It's something that I really enjoyed.
I'm going to reconsider that.
Yeah, something that I really enjoyed too. A quick update for our program. First and foremost, I'm trying to backfill my position as a fish habitat biologist. Looking to do interviews here this middle of next month. So hopefully we'll be back up to a full staff before the end of the year. I'd like to quickly talk about a couple projects, two of which are going into implementation this year. The Lowell River McDaniel project. Currently, I'm working with ODOT to solidify an intergovernmental agreement. Some of you may know that they're associated with the Minum Curve reconstruction project. There's mitigation associated with them burying the creek underneath the Minum Curve. The mitigation funding for that is going to go towards the McDaniel project. So I'm working with ODOT to get the intergovernmental agreement solidified, and also how we will be paying for that, and who's going to be the financial. Lost the block. Who will be the point of payment? I will also be working on permitting through that for that this winter. Moving back over to this county, we're working towards implementation of the Cap Creek State Park project. I'm also working on an intergovernmental agreement with state parks regarding that. We'll also be working on permitting for that project. Hall Ranch, I know Hall Ranch has been of interest to the board a lot of recent, in particular, both have cultural resources and also funding. I'm working closely with Jesse as we move this project forward, and I think we're gaining some traction. In particular, cultural resources. Some of you may know that the Umatillas were unable to actually perform the rest of the cultural resources work that we asked to have done, and we have moved forward with looking to hire a contractor. We have a meeting next week, Jesse, next week, where we should be evaluating who that will be. One alternative is to go through ODOT and their contracted cultural resources folks, or Jesse has reached out to Anderson Prairie. So we'll be looking at both of their, in essence, bids for doing that project, the cultural resources for that project.
Is that just focused on the road piece, or is that the entire?
So when we did a phase one that was abandoned, the northeast side of the highway was surveyed for that project. This will be for the southwest, the whole southwest side of the highway, and in particular for the road alignment. Something else that is occurring with that project that we don't normally do when we go through our programmatics is we haven't been doing for a while. So there are some done on the Forest Service ground, but for this particular project will be an environmental assessment. That process was going to be taken on by EPA. As of our meeting a couple of weeks ago, the EA might be covered in another basin-wide programmatic. So we're hoping that will occur. Otherwise, we're a little nervous about how long that EA might take. But we will deal with it as as necessary. And I and Jesse volunteered to kind of help move those things along, providing any information as fast and as quickly as we can, so we'll get these projects moving forward. And last but not least, the Bowman Upper Grand Rock project. And actually, Jesse referred to it earlier, and that was an outhouse they found, as he mentioned. That project had some significant sites that were not outhouses that were found in the upstream reach that will require us to reevaluate the current design. And we will be working with and discussing these things with both our contractors and the EPA to move forward. And really, that's all I have. Unless, Tim, you have anything else going on in the basins?
Thanks, Winston. Last thing is just the Wallowa Lake update. It's been consuming up a lot of my time. I think it's germane to this group because of the in-stream water benefits that will come from it. If we can get everything done on time, so that for those of you who don't know, at the end of the legislature, it was kind of negotiated that the governor proposed about $16 million to replace Wallowa Lake Dam. That was negotiated back to 14 million at the end of the legislature with an agreement that ODFW, Nez Perce Tribe, Umatilla Tribe, and the Irrigation District would come to an agreement on some in-stream flow releases between 4,200 acre feet and 5,000 acre feet on an annual basis, depending on average snowpack. And so right now we're kind of in the process of getting all those documents together. We have a really productive meeting back in November. We have one coming up here in about a week and a half. Goal is to get that done by February and get that wrapped up so the funds can be dispersed in the Irrigation District and get back on schedule with building. But as germane to this group, I mean, 4,200 to 5,000 acre feet is going to be released in Wallowa River, which is tier one habitat. And so it's kind of a rising tide that floats all boats, and all the projects we put on the Wallowa River is going to be inundated by that water. So it's a good thing for several different reasons. So that's what I got.
Good project for lots of areas.
Oh man, yeah, oh man.
Hey, before we move on, can I ask Winston a question?
Mm-hmm.
Back to Hall Ranch.
Yes.
So the Mo Watershed Board had written a letter to Bonneville about Hall Ranch Cultural Resources, and Bonneville was supposed to be finishing up a statement of work for that work. Mm-hmm. Are you still on that track waiting for Bonneville?
No, so we have the statement of work is completed, and it has been distributed to the AP and to ODOT's folks that are on retainer.
Okay.
So we are expecting bids. Jesse, please chime in because you were working the AP aspect of this. We're expecting next week to be looking at numbers and choosing somebody moving forward.
I think 2 weeks out.
2 weeks. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that statement work was solidified at our last meeting, which was a week and a half ago.
In the previous work northeast of the highway was deemed adequate for ground disturbing activities?
Far enough away.
Yeah.
Good.
Yep.
Well, that's good news, because I don't think Bonneville ever gave us a formal response back, did they, Susan?
I didn't get one. I didn't hear anything. No.
No, and they mentioned it to me often that John's still working on a response letter.
Really?
Yeah, it'll come someday.
After the highway's been moved and the project's done?
It better not take that long.
Well, remember, it was two parts, right? It was the archaeology and it was the capital.
Yeah.
Capital outlay.
Right.
Yeah, and I guess I don't know what to expect from John's response letter, John Skidmore's response letter. I think it'll be mostly focused on the capital, addressing the capital concern. I know the cultural resource delays that we're experiencing on Hall Ranch caused quite a stir there.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. It seems to be working because we're moving forward.
I think we're gaining ground. The environmental assessment part was a little scary because, you know, here we had delayed this project and some of the folks were talking about 2 years to do an environmental assessment. And you know, I think as Jesse and I really compressed and said, well, wait a minute, that means when will this project be done? But we're getting support within BPA that no, the environmental assessment, if it occurs or whether or not we go through this programmatic, you know, it's going to happen fast. So where there would be pressure for it to happen fast. And I just want to say, you know, on behalf of my program, kind of from my perspective, I did read your letter and I just wanted to say thank you. I don't know if anybody from our program had said thank you, but that letter was very appropriate from my perspective, and appreciate the board willing to send that letter.
Thank you, Jesse.
Yeah.
Okay. And all of our partners? How about staff?
I think, did we get a staff report in this?
We didn't.
No.
We did not.
The next one, or
I just want to know how the bag sales are going.
Good. She keeps ordering more.
$60 more tonight.
Yeah. Well, one of those that I sold was to somebody who had commented on how interesting the last ripple was, and I said, well, here's an opportunity.
Yeah.
So then they were caught.
Yeah.
So
And we have enough funding to do another ripple, so we're
great.
Just getting going on in the next edition.
Yeah. Ian, anything from you?
Well, I could give you an update, I guess, on we're going to have a 30% review of the Wolf Wetland project today, but got canceled. That was an RRT review, and so that's going to get rescheduled for hopefully sometime the next week or two. And that will be followed up by an IT 30% review of Wolf Wetland. There's several other projects at various stages. So I don't know if it's appropriate to update you guys on those now if you want that. So I've been kind of just helping with that process, developing some new projects, and also fielding some general authorization requests for bank stabilization. Different landowners in the county. That's mostly what I have.
And the Atlas is moving out of the tier one to?
Yeah, thank you. So Atlas, that's kind of something else I've been pretty involved with, is starting to develop the tier two sub-watersheds in Atlas. And so we're gonna have a subgroup meeting December 11th, and we're gonna start with Joseph Creek watershed and start developing that watershed and work towards Big Sheep Creek. And then Prairie Creek, hopefully through this winter. And so that'll get us through a good portion of the tier twos and present a lot more opportunities to work there in the future. So, and actually, yeah, I did go on a tour in the north end of the forest zone with Alan Miller and Montana Pagano, the Nez Perce tribe. We looked at a lot of previous work and future opportunities out there. And so I think that'll be really informative and moving forward to this Joseph Creek watershed tier two development. So, yeah.
So you can help me with Alan in working on the land management plan update.
Oh,
the salmon plan.
Yeah. Is he not? He just hasn't been responsive, or?
Well, he's confused about what it is I want from everybody. So,
okay.
Yeah. I thought it was perfectly clear, but evidently not.
He's getting close to retirement, so
yeah. Maybe he doesn't want to know.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you.
I might just add too on the calendar, or that first week of December, there's a couple things on there. We've got an adaptive management subgroup meeting. Kayla's been leading that group, and we are almost complete with a paper that we're gonna submit to fisheries on the Atlas and adaptive management in the Upper Grand Ronde Basin, and several of the partners have helped us put that together. And so it's taken a long time. We've been working on it for 6 months now, I think. So hopefully we're just about done. And then on the 5th of December, Winston and I have a call with BPA regarding the capital funding on Catherine Creek Hall Ranch. So we should know some more. Then we're getting started on the proposal for that.
Very good. Anything else from staff?
I have a little update on the tri-gauge. I've talked to someone at the BLM recently, and they are interested in pitching it. So they said that they're going to talk to their upper management and get back to me sometime in December. So that would have three partners: Idaho Power, C2R, and BLM. So hopefully that might be enough to limp it along through next year. So,
is it still running right now?
Yes. U.S. Army Corps of Engineers contributed half of next year's, and then USGS just kind of did the rest of this year as like a in-kind contribution kind of thing. But so it's funded half for next year as of right now, but it says on the website only April something. I don't know why, but so we're trying to get it from June through December. So
they are serious about canceling that gauge, because I kind of got some hearing that it was like, well, we're not going to really, it's just on the list, but we're not really serious about cutting it. I wasn't sure how serious that was.
It sounds like they were willing to let it go, but U.S. Army Corps of Engineers really wants it to continue to go.
Yeah.
So half. They only want half the year.
Right.
So it's, yeah. So we're going to still add it on a web grant for the other gauges next fall. So if U.S. Army Corps of Engineers continues to put in half the year, we should be fine.
You ever talked to them about trading the mine for the Grand Ronde?
They didn't seem very interested in any trading anything. I don't know.
I wonder if that's a staffing issue.
I think it might be.
Yeah.
But, and Idaho Power is willing to take it over if they were going to drop it, but it didn't tell me. They wanted to drop it. They want the money to keep the staff working.
Yeah. Do you know what office that Gage is maintained on?
Okay. I have some contact.
No, that's
been running through like a lot of different people. It's yeah. pretty confusing, like yeah. four USGS people. So.
No, I appreciate all the contacts you're making on that. Just it's so tied into the Wallowa Lake release thing too that.
Yeah, and that's another thing. I mean, if we come up and we think we're going to be short of funds, we need to figure out a way yeah. to chip in.
We can't really protect that in-stream release to the state line if we don't have a gauge at the state line to tell us it got there.
Yeah. And so it's important to us too.
Yeah.
Let us know who you're, if we can help in any way.
Yeah. Thank you.
The county.
Yeah, it's moving forward, so hopefully.
Yeah.
And I was just in Salem Friday and I spoke with the Water Resources Department mm-hmm. and Anton was there the week before and we stressed the importance of keeping those gauges and maybe adding some more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I felt they were pretty receptive to that.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah. Alex?
Huh? I got nothing.
We updated our staff page, so there's a new picture on there with the current staff members.
Current staff members? Yeah.
Oh yeah, I looked at that.
Yeah. Was like, I'm going what?
Really old.
Speaking of which, we need a new board
yes.
picture, so maybe we can try to do that in February.
Sometime soon.
Should we do it tonight?
Yeah.
I was gonna say
warm color hair. Do it tonight and then just put up those shadow things for the guys that weren't here. Yeah. Get some really bad shots of them and put them there. Yeah.
Jim with a koala bear.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to know where that other guy was though. Where's his name? I was at a meeting with him today. He should have been here.
Who are you talking about?
I don't know. Who names you got over there?
Yost?
Yost? No, not Yost. Good God. I don't think he's anywhere in the state. He's not even in the state, is he?
He called me right before the meeting and said he was going to be here, and then plans changed last minute.
Oh,
so
really?
He's here. He's just here? Not here.
Was it Larry?
Larry. Yeah. Yeah, it was Larry. Okay, do we have anything else? Public?
Sorry, back up under the staff report. We have another board candidate for the educational representative, mm-hmm. J.D. Cant.
Mm-hmm.
Teacher at Imbler High School, teaches shop and ag classes there. And he has agreed to serve on the board as our ed representative. Assuming, I guess we can't vote
we can't
on that.
We can't do that.
All right,
I think he'd be a great
person. Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, he'd be really good.
How old is he?
He's my age.
How old are you? No. I don't want to say it because I don't want to offend you.
I got asked by grandkids.
I used to babysit mine. That's so I'm really old.
Yeah.
I'm say the Cants I know are slightly older than that.
I'm going to say he's probably
40.
40.
Yeah.
I don't think this job is aging you like some people do. Thank you.
Nice job.
If you had grandkids?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll add that to our phone conversation.
Okay.
There. We're doing a phone cut. Is that scheduled yet?
No.
Okay.
I can help set that up.
And Connor will help set that up because I'm pretty sure he can send out a doodle poll thing of it to you.
Yeah.
I have figured out how to work those, so.
I can answer it, but don't know how to set them up.
Yeah.
If it does get tough to even get us on a phone, is an email, vote by email possible too?
Yeah, we'll work on it.
Okay.
We'll get it done.
And that would go with the minutes also mm-hmm. on both.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think Oregon just made that legal, didn't they? Like the last.
Yeah, we can do that. But what we do need to do is get an email out to all those who were not present tonight, asking them to review, when you get that up.
Sure.
Ask them to review, listen to our conversations and review, and then let us know when they would be available for us.
Okay.
Because we want to, what's our timeframe for moving these projects and getting this?
It needs to be pretty quick.
Soon.
Yeah, I was planning on having letters out next week notifying the sponsors. We can set that back a week or two, but.
Well, let's see if we can get it in the next couple of weeks then.
Okay. That'd be good.
I'm not available Tuesday of next week, so. But I've already heard it. Yeah, but to do that, so let's see if we can get responses back, Mary.
Okay.
And Connor, and then we'll put that out and see if we can get a.
Okay.
We should. Those of us sitting here should probably say what days we're not available. So.
I can take down a short list and get kind of an idea what times are working for people. So you said that you're not available on Tuesday.
Not on Tuesday.
Jeff?
I'm not available Tuesday either. I will be in Salem the rest of the week, but I can, you know, I can call in myself.
So don't you want this a couple weeks out for the conference call so people have the time to look at that, you know, instead of doing it next week?
Yeah, you're right. I think we want to have, by the end of next week, we want to be able, and then the week after, we want to be prepared to have.
The conference call.
Yeah.
Correct.
So
it would be the next, following
week. Yeah, I'm available Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday afternoon.
Tuesday, Wednesday, look good for me.
Alice, subgroup things on the 11th. Wednesday?
Go, Wallawa.
I mean, Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Wednesday, Thursday looks good.
Monday's good for me. Tuesday, midday. Have to be back out here at 5 o'clock on that Tuesday. Wednesday, if it's. Oh, we're going to do a phone call, so give me the phone number. I could do anything but between 11 and 1 on Wednesday. So let us know.
All right.
And eliminate those days that we won't be available.
Do you guys know yet?
Yeah, the afternoon of Wednesday is the only day I can make it work.
Okay. So. Wednesday 11 to 1 on
the 11th.
It's not good.
No, yeah, that's not good. Not
the Wednesday's the one, probably bad day. The rest
Alan,
of them look good for me.
Do you know?
We're talking the week of the 16th?
The week of the 9th.
I'm reasonably open that week.
Okay.
So we'll provide some options for Tuesday morning, Tuesday afternoon, and looks like Wednesday morning, potentially Friday afternoon.
Yeah, I could probably join any time Tuesday up until whenever 4 o'clock comes and I have to drive out here.
Okay.
Okay, and Jim,
I guess I can make it work.
Jim has just afternoons on Wednesday.
And Monday.
We have a commission meeting Wednesday, and then in the afternoon, the place baseball planning. So that's mm-hmm. kind of a busy day that day.
Okay. All right. Hopefully, we can find something that works for everyone.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. All right. Anything else? It's like we're scheduled for the 25th of February. For all of you who are here this evening, make sure that you impress upon our other board members that it's imperative that they attend these board meetings.
should send a letter to him. It gets action.
Is it February will allow that, Susan, next year?
Yeah. All right. No further business. We're adjourned.